to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Hello, thanks for joining me today, and welcome to the brand new podcast, All About Self-Employment. I'm your host, Julia Kermode, and today I'm really excited to be joined by Emma Jones, who is a business expert, and she formed Enterprise Nation in 2005, which is purely set up to support new startup businesses with access to resources, expertise, and advice. So today, talking to Emma, we're going to hear some stories about how the pandemic has affected people setting up their own businesses, whether indeed anybody has been successful in setting up their businesses in recent months, what are the current trends, have any sectors done well, and all of that sort of thing. So without further ado, let's get stuck in. Welcome to today's podcast, Emma. Really delighted to have you here. Could you do a brief introduction so our listeners know all about you?
Sure. Well, lovely to be here, Julia. Thanks so much for the invitation to come on. So my name is Emma Jones. I'm founder of Enterprise Nation. And Enterprise Nation was set up 13 years ago, feels much longer than that, actually, to help anyone start and grow their own small business. So the way in which we help people is we've got a very active online platform where hopefully small businesses who come with questions from accounting to how to use Instagram stories, we've got answers to help them. Pre-COVID, we did lots of physical events, but of course, they've all pivoted online. So yeah, we're hopefully there as a great resource centre and a friendly community for anyone starting and growing a business.
Excellent. I've benefited from a lot of your services and you know, the webinars and the expertise that you have has been really helpful in helping me shape how I want to do things. So thank you from the wider community. So just in terms of kind of what's going on at the moment, I think in the current climate of coronavirus, unfortunately, we know people are unfortunately being made redundant, or perhaps their current businesses are looking to change how they operate. And really, I understand that the number of people are kind of looking at maybe setting up a new business for the first time, or maybe changing what their business does. This is kind of why I wanted to talk to you about the work of Enterprise Nation. And I just wonder, what things have you been seeing in the last few months throughout the kind of pandemic, and you know, what are the current trends?
Yeah, well, it's been pretty incredible. As everyone has found. But I think when we look back on our past 6 months, there's been three quite clear phases that we felt at Enterprise Nation. So we were quite quick to establish our coronavirus support hub. I think that went live on 14th of March. And the first phase is, we now call it the Dash for Cash. So this is where we had thousands of businesses come onto the platform and essentially kind of ask us around eligibility for government support schemes. Yeah. So the questions we had were, you know, can I get self-employment income support? I'm a sole director of a limited company. Can I furlough myself? I hear these bounce back loans have launched. How do I go about getting one? And we, as I say, we just have thousands of businesses. We work 24/7 to hopefully get answers out to all those businesses. And so that was the kind of first 6 to 8 weeks, actually, where business owners, individuals, freelancers, limited company directors were just incredibly focused on, how do I get cash in the door? How do I keep this business going? Oh. And one of the things over the kind of past few months is we've been incredibly close to the community. So, you know, businesses have been coming onto the platform every day, but we've been connecting across social. So across the community, we've just kind of kept on saying, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. What do you need from mm-hmm. us? And in early May, there kind of was a shift in mood, attitude, requests for content, and it moved from, most businesses by then had got their financial rescue plan sorted, and what they were then saying to us is, we want to know how to do more online. So absolutely, your comments around businesses needing to pivot, which of course is kind of a big word that everyone's using, we had this huge request for how do I use social media to engage with my customers? How do I build a website? Because I've never really needed one before. How do I trade on marketplaces like Amazon? And so we responded with lots of content, again, that hopefully helped the community. And then in the past couple of weeks, it's been much more a feeling of back to business. So some businesses have spent kind of the past 5 months kind of, you know, they'd got cash in the bank, they felt relatively relaxed about lockdown, and so they spent the time getting fitter, learning more about how to adopt new digital technologies. So they're now kind of saying, right, I want to go out, get my customers back, I'm back into business. And then, of course, for the physical businesses, it's very much been back to business because they've been able to reopen their shops, their high street doors, etc. So it's kind of been the shift of dash for cash, which was the first quite challenging, very challenging period. Then much more kind of how do I become a better online business was kind of phase two. And phase three is just across all businesses saying, right, let's make sure we're re-engaging with our customers, keeping the money coming in, thinking about repaying loans for next year. So let's just get back in that business throes. And I know today there have been health warnings again around what might happen. I have to say, and I know we have to be very responsible from a health and safety perspective, but it would be very damaging, I think, if we went into lockdown again for those businesses who just feel that they are getting back into their stride.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation we find ourselves in, actually. And I have to say, you did hugely well to get your coronavirus support part up and running so quickly, because at that time, I was running an organisation and we weren't really set up for those types of queries, but we were getting quite a lot. And I you must have been absolutely snowed under. So then what's quite interesting about your experience is that you've done that, you pivoted your own business, and then you then went on to advise people how to do similar once they kind of had gone through that dash for cash phase. So that must have been quite a helpful experience in yourselves for what you've been through.
It didn't feel helpful at the time.
No, I imagine it was 10 to the dozen at the time.
It was. And I did do a tweet the other day because, of course, we were doing all of this with the team that all of a sudden was based in homes. Sure. And I did a tweet the other day because I brought all of the team together. And I kind of tweeted out to say, I've thanked them a million times because the team, we've got a team of 27 people at Enterprise Nation. They were all working from bedrooms, spare rooms, under the stairs. And they all just put their kind of, you know, shoulder to the wheel, whatever that phrase is. But it was incredibly, I guess when I look back, it was a very intense time because the team was working really hard. But in a way, if Enterprise Nation hadn't done its job then, we would have to question, why do we exist? So we exist to support small businesses. Small businesses never needed support so much as they did back in March, as I say, for those first 8 weeks. And therefore, if we had not very quickly pivoted, responded, you know, just got hourly updates out to the community, then I would feel we had not done our job. So the team were amazing. Touch wood, we've managed how we, you know, do all of this without seeing each other. And, you know, the big gratifying thing for them, and this is what I love to hear you say up front, that you've benefited from the kind of the support we offer. You know, the team so much, you know, had this incredible glue with each other because they all just felt, we're doing our job, we're helping support small businesses, you know, let's not complain about the hours, let's rock on and get the job done. Of course, they're all going on holidays now.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly amazing when you look back on that time, isn't it? Because I just remember how I felt personally at the time, which was quite unsure as to, you know, what was going to come next. And bearing in mind, at that time, I was in kind of a normal job. It wasn't really at risk. I was working from home. And so for me, the transition was really simple. But a lot of people had a terrible time and a terrible uncertainty. And I think some people are still in a very precarious position because they've fallen between the cracks of the government support. But yeah, I mean, in terms of what I saw from your organisation and others, I think everyone's pulled together amazingly well.
We had a team stand up this morning. We were talking about if there was another lockdown that, you know, the team has to galvanise again to do it. So we'll see if we're kind of through the woods yet.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we just don't know what's going to be around the corner. So in your experience of what you've seen, are you seeing more people looking to set up their own business at the moment? Because that's certainly something that I'm hearing, but I would just be interested to know if that is the reality of what you're seeing.
It is very much the reality. So this probably started to kick in again about 6 weeks ago. So we started to see that the number of people coming onto the platform searching for starting a business went up. Well, I think we're up now about 67% compared to this time last year. So we're definitely seeing it on the platform in searches that happen every day. Other factors that we've seen is Companies House report on new company formations each month. They had in July of this year, they reported the highest ever number of people forming a company in the space of July. Startup Loans, which is the government organisation that delivers money to startups, again, have just recorded two record months. So across the board, we are seeing so many people say, there's a couple of reasons for this, actually. One is so many people have spotted a gap in the market during lockdown. They have tried to get baked goods delivered to their door. They couldn't find it. And so they decided to do it themselves. So there's a lot of spotting gaps in the market. But there's also, and this is very right, I would have thought for your podcast, is lots of people previously pre-lockdown had what's called a side hustle. So they were in employment and they were building their business at nights and weekends. And if you had gone on furlough, which 10 million people did, all of a sudden you've got a lot more time to work on what was a side hustle, kind of now can become your full-time business. So we've seen, I think, a lot of people move from part-time self-employment into saying, actually, this is the moment that I will start a business. And that's the final factor in all of this. There was a lovely piece actually on the Times this morning where James Hurley, who's a great journalist, was profiling again new startups, and the first story he covered was of a man who said essentially this is quite a moment where you evaluate your life, and so you look around and been very challenging, and a lot of people have probably thought, am I doing the job I should be doing in this world? And so many people actually can go through that kind of self-realization process, and actually the conclusion is, should I become my own boss? Because you get the freedom, the flexibility, it's, you know, the control is much more in your hands, it's not in somebody else's hands. And so there's also a lot of that, I think, that's happened of psychological people checking in of, you know, are they doing the thing they should be doing? And the outcome of that is starting businesses. So for all the right reasons, financial, psychological, being around for the family, for all the right reasons, we're seeing lots more people get started, which is great.
That is really good. And I know that obviously people that have been furloughed, nobody particularly wanted to be furloughed, I don't imagine, unless they're in a job they hated. But being furloughed is a really positive thing. But I guess something that came out of it was that time to reflect and think, well, what is it I want to do with kind of my time? And then, you know, if they then chose to leave their jobs or were made redundant, then there are other opportunities out there. And I think that sometimes that's missing from some of the commentary we're seeing. I think obviously that's because there's a lot of people who are not in that positive position at the moment, but I'm so glad that what you're seeing is moving in that direction.
And I think it's important to share that. And again, this Times piece from this morning, I actually shared it in the guise of read this to start your week in a positive way, because I have to say, you know, I looked on BBC this morning and all the headlines on all the papers were Last Chance Saloon, we're about to go into lockdown, this is getting really bad again. And I just thought it's kind of for people. And as you say, it is the harsh reality. And I'm not saying ignore that, but you've got to start your week off well, you've got to get in that positive mindset. And so for me, the kind of the media that's covering those uplifting stories, and, you know, I know we all have to show the full extent of what's going on, but for me, that's kind of the thing to type to share, because hopefully it helps others boost their confidence and think they'll do the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if there's any sectors that you have seen are particularly getting more people setting themselves up within. I'm guessing obviously being able to work from home and be home-based rather than visiting businesses physically. But you tell me, what have you been seeing?
Yeah, so there's the businesses that have done really well, and we have absolutely seen some businesses, dare I say, have a great lockdown. So anyone who was selling online, if you were selling garden plants, if you were selling interiors, if you were selling athleisure, if you were selling food and drink, you've done pretty well over this kind of past 6 months because, you know, you were set up to deliver to your customers at home and online where they're buying. So online sellers definitely have done well. Of course, the businesses that we've seen struggle the most have been in hospitality, leisure, anyone in the events industry. They've had a really tough time. But this, and we mentioned it before, this word pivot is one that I just love at the moment, because I guess for me, the businesses that I love to see are those who kind of came into this, or, you know, COVID happened unto them. They did have to kind of either shut down their, not shut down the business, but they customers kind of, you know, disappeared overnight. Those businesses who've just said, right, what are my skills? How can I apply them in a different way? How can I diversify? Again, we're seeing some incredible stories come out of it. So the businesses, and advice for anyone who's listening who's in this position is, you know, look at your existing customers. So do they want to buy from you in a different way? If so, diversify to, you know, so if you haven't been selling online, all of your customers are now buying online. That's the reason to build more of a digital presence. But also, are there new customers out there that you can kind of start to approach? So for me, and one of the reasons that kind of keeps me going in this job is the resilient nature of founders themselves, that it takes a lot to knock them down because they just keep on getting up again to say, no, I'll do what it takes to keep on trading. And so, you know, the businesses that we've seen diversify of early in lockdown, I remember we profiled a beautiful business called Clapham Fresh of a guy who was selling essential oils, and then just very quickly he could see that people wanted food deliveries to their door. He pivoted very quickly, started this business called Clapham Fresh. It's now massively expanding because he's, again, he's had a great 6 months. So it's those businesses who've stayed alert to not only the opportunities, but of course the challenges they face, react very quickly. They're the ones who have fortunately come out of this. So there's kind of a lesson in that, I think, for all of us. Just react, know where your customers are, know the ways in which they want to buy, and adapt to kind of suit those needs.
Yeah, so I guess from what you're saying, it's about not taking the knockbacks too seriously or too much to heart, but actually keeping an eye on what's going on out there. So thinking of your Clapham chap, his oil business, his essential oil business, I guess was not going as well as he would have liked. So then he was looking at the new opportunities. But if his mindset had perhaps been a bit less resilient, he might have sort of gone the other direction, whereas because he was outward looking, he was able to build something new and pivot. Would you kind of agree with that?
Absolutely. And it's hard because, you know, everyone, and me 13 years into this business, I still take, if we don't win certain client contracts, I still take it personally. It takes me days to get over it. So I say this knowing how hard it is, that when you take those knocks, it's hard to get over them. Sure. However, for the sake of business continuity and to keep things going, you know, I remember there's a brilliant man called Gary Turner who runs a business called Xero, which is cloud accounting software, which I'm sure you'll know about. And he used to sit on our board. And I remember him saying something to me once, which just kind of stays with me, which is one of the things you have to have as a business owner is you have to be comfortable with change, because things are rare. And he said this pre-COVID, for goodness sake. So even, you know, when opportunities come in, when challenges face you, and I'm a big believer in setting a business plan for your business. I've always advised businesses that when you're starting up, when you're growing, have a plan, because it gives you a sense of direction in terms of where you're taking your business. But what you can't predict for is kind of the left and right turns, you know, on that route.
Yeah.
And so you have to get very comfortable as a founder with the change that is coming down the road, and as I say, kind of very quickly respond. And just again, an example of this, I was talking earlier today, there's one of our team members, her husband was in the events industry. He did sound engineering for big scale events. Of course, none of those are happening. And she just told me this story, which is he's looking to say, well, his skills are in sound. All of us are doing these video, and there's lots of podcast production, which is case in point here. couldn't he pivot quite quickly to offer his skills to everyone who's doing anything audio related online? So again, it's just thinking, what, you know, what have the shifts been? What are people doing? How are they working? How are they shopping? And where do your skills fit in? Because they definitely will as a business, but it is about that attitude in terms of being open to change and open to new opportunities and then doing something about it.
Yeah, and it can be difficult to see the opportunities, I guess. So, I don't know how other people do it, but sometimes I just have to give myself a good talking to if I find I haven't got the right mindset. And you know, people that know me know that I've got dogs, and so, you know, often my best decisions are made on the morning dog walk, and I'll go out and I'll almost have some thinking time. And yeah, the dogs are very wise, actually, I can tell you. But do you think there's a good time to be looking at launching a new enterprise? I mean, because you've been at Enterprise Nation for, I think you said 13 years, which we might not want to dwell on that length of time, because I'm sure it's seemed like longer or quicker, depending on how you feel. But yeah, in your experience, are there any particular good times to be looking at starting up?
I mean, definitely now is, because again, in all of these startup stats that have come out, lots of people have said, this is crazy. Why are people starting businesses now? And, you know, quite ironically, recessions can be good times to get started, mainly because assets are cheap. So again, someone was saying to me the other day, they're opening a new shop. And they said, the reason why I'm doing it is because I can get amazing rental rates. The company is called Bird and Blend. And they said that they're about to get a new shop in kind of some central London location. And Mike, who's the founder of it, said if we weren't in recession, essentially, he would not get the rate that he is getting on that shop. So even for startups, you can get good rates on assets that you might be looking to use. And as I say, kind of the thing about very much the sort of time of the moment now is changing customer needs and demands, and this creates huge opportunity. So the kind of environment has created a good time to start a business, because customers, as I say, are wanting things in different ways, delivered by different means. So that creates huge opportunity for new entrepreneurs. And then when it comes to the operational things you'll need to get started, you can often, as I say, do deals, get them at better rates. And of course, one thing that is the same pre or post COVID is enabling technology has been incredible in, you know, sort of a key factor in flourishing entrepreneurship. So any business owner who can start a business on a Monday, you know, set up a shop on Amazon or set up a profile on Facebook or Instagram, and literally by Friday, they can be trading with the world. So these incredible platforms and marketplaces have just enabled businesses selling product and service actually to reach so many more customers. And as I say, that is something that's been pretty continuous for the kind of past 3 to 4 years. So all of those factors combined, as I say, that psychological wrapper as well of people just thinking, I want to be in more control of how I live my life. For all of those reasons, it's a pretty good time to get started. And then there's loads of support for people who do. So, you know, Enterprise Nation exists for that, but startup loans, growth hubs, which everyone has in their own local area. Yes. So there's lots of places that startups can go to get all the support they need. So yeah, it's a good time. Good time to get, there's always a good time to get started, but now is a good time.
And I guess also, I mean, if you can get up and running now and survive, then that surely has got to stand you in good stead for the future. And I just love the fact that, you know, you can start on a Monday and then be trading with the world on the Friday. I just think that is so true. And that didn't used to be the case not all that long ago. So that whole technology side of things is just amazing. And obviously there's lots of resources out there that people can tap into. Now, what are the growth hubs that you mentioned? Because people might not necessarily know exactly what those are.
Yeah, so these are kind of like economic development agencies, I guess. They're in 38 areas of England only. So for your listeners who are from Scotland and Wales, there is the equivalent in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, but it's run, so in Scotland, it's Scottish Enterprise. In Wales, it's the Welsh Assembly Government. And in Northern Ireland, it's run by something called Enterprise Northern Ireland. But in England, we have these 38 bodies. Mm-hmm. And if you just Google growth hubs, there's a map and it shows you kind of which growth hub is your area. And so what they're there for is to deliver support to startups and growing businesses. So I guess Enterprise Nation is like the private sector version. We're a private company. Yeah. We deliver support. Growth hubs are government funded. They deliver support. We all get on very well together. And so if you're starting a business, what you want to do is hopefully not get confused by who's offering what, but make the most of the full extent of support out there. So, you know, if you do need training, well, actually, case in point, I was going to say, if you do need training on how to use Facebook, interestingly, last Thursday, we hosted a big national event with the Growth Hubs, which was called She Means Business, where we delivered lots of Facebook training
to
founders of all genders, actually. It's called She Means Business, but anyone was able to attend. So if you want Facebook training, there's a place to go. If you want more in-person sessions, of course, they're not happening as much as they were. But one thing that the Growth Hubs have just launched is peer-to-peer networks. Okay. They tend to be for the bigger businesses, but just it's best just to kind of shop around, but definitely national organizations like Enterprise Nation, we exist to help people wherever they are, but it's definitely worth looking for your local growth hub just to see the support they've got on offer.
That's great. And actually, the peer-to-peer sort of networking side of things, that's often a missing link when you are setting up on your own and you kind of become all consumed in something and you can sort of forget that there might be other people who have useful experience they can share with you or that you can just bounce ideas around with them. So I think that peer-to-peer side of things actually is much easier nowadays with different social media and networks and communities. And I think that's a really helpful service that's out there.
It's critical. And actually, we saw some research the other day of businesses who take advice from their peers are more likely to activate that advice. Okay. So it can definitely be helpful. And I was just thinking, Julia, when you were saying before that when you go out for walks with the dogs and you have to give yourself a good talking to around, you know, come on, you can start this business, you can grow it. Don't underestimate the value of having a mentor, because they can be, so there's a lot when you're a sole founder. I started and sold a first business where it was me and another co-founder. In this business, I'm the sole founder, and it makes a huge difference if you have somebody else to talk to. So particularly if you're a sole founder, try and find someone with whom you just kind of talk out all the things on your mind, because you almost definitely will come up with the answers, but it's sometimes it's just really useful just to talk it out. And that's what mentors can help with. And as you say, peer-to-peer networks can help with that too.
How would someone go about finding a mentor? And do you think it matters whether the mentor has expertise in what the mentee is doing as a business, or actually is a completely different perspective more helpful?
Yeah, great question. So this is a question I get a lot in terms of where can I go and find a mentor, and I'll come on to that at the end. But the advice I offer is there's a couple of different types of mentors, actually. So there is someone who does have industry experience in your kind of sector. So say you're starting a food and drink brand, you would look for a mentor. There's an amazing guy called John Stapleton, who founded Covent Garden Soup Company. He was then an investor in Little Dish. He's done phenomenally well in food and drink. He acts as a mentor to a lot of young food and drink startups. And I hope John wouldn't mind me saying this, but John is probably the kind of mentor who, he built incredible businesses. So he would give advice which advises the young business owner what to do. So there's the kind of industry veteran who will almost give you advice based on their experience of success.
Yeah.
But then there's another kind of mentor which can be incredibly valuable, which is someone who doesn't necessarily have to be from your industry, but they do have to be a really good listener. And that mentor is the type of person where, as I say, you meet them once a month, once a week, depending on kind of how much you need them. And you just kind of talk out the things that are going on. So, you know, you're looking to hire a person, but that's kind of a big move and it impacts your budget. Should you do it? Or you've got a team member who's kind of not doing well with somebody else. Should you raise finance? Is this a good time to be doing this? And I've seen business owners do it so many times where they just kind of talk out their issues the mentor's job is pretty much to sit and listen,
yeah,
and then provide affirmation when the business owner comes up with their own solution. So there's a couple of types. There's one that has done it and will give you advice on how to do it and shortcuts your route to success. But I kind of almost, the one that I prefer actually is the one who's the really good listener. So you come up with your own solutions.
Yeah.
In terms of where to find them, it can be hard. And pre-COVID, my advice was always actually is get out to events and meet lots and lots of people, because you need to have good chemistry with a mentor. So that used to be my advice, which was go to lots of things. You will find the person who's right for you. But of course, now I'm just kind of saying, just go online and find, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you can still interact online, although it's not in person. So have a look around. LinkedIn, of course, is an incredible place. And then the only thing you need to think about as a business owner is, are you prepared to pay for the services of a mentor, or is it kind of a quid pro quo? And I used to have an amazing mentor and a very old, wise man who'd had lots of experience in building businesses and working with government. And essentially, I used to buy him a bowl of porridge once a month. I'd buy him breakfast, and in exchange, I'd get an hour with him. And it was kind of like a business counselling session. So he was very happy to kind of give back. And, you know, so you can find a lot of mentors who are prepared to do that. So it can be slightly different for different business owners. But think about the type of mentor that's right for you. Mm-hmm. Network like crazy online to find them. And then, as I say, kind of just have in your mind as to whether you're prepared to pay for that time, or if the mentor is going to give back through giving their time at no cost.
Yeah, and I think a monthly bowl of porridge is a great deal for a mentor. I think that's fantastic. And I guess sometimes it can be hard for people to approach other people and have that confidence. But I kind of think, well, if you don't approach them, if you don't try to make those links, you will never know. And the worst thing that will happen is someone will say no. But I would imagine they'll say no in a very nice way, because they'll be flattered to have been asked, right?
Yeah. Well, and actually, this is, again, tips that I give, and more for kind of if you want the industry mentor, actually, is, dare I say, completely flatter the person you're approaching. So the approach should be along the lines of, so if it was to John Stapleton, dear John, the story of how you've grown businesses has completely inspired me. Would you at all be able to give 20 minutes at a date of your choice in a way that's going to make it easy for you to kind of guide me on my journey? So the advice I do give is, make it easy for the mentor to say yes. You know, make it a short amount of time so they feel, oh my goodness, it's only 20 minutes. It's a low commitment. I can do it online. I don't have to travel. You know, this person is clearly going to be helped by my sage advice. So I think that is the way. And just as a way not to do it, and it still amazes me actually when people send this, and I've seen people shout it out or call it out on social, is not use the words, can I pick your brains? It's just anyone who's receiving that is just like, no, it's not. That's not a great approach. So make it really personal. Make it feel as if it's low maintenance effort for the person that you're asking. And if that chemistry works well, you can guarantee that the mentor will say, hey, I'll do this again in 2 weeks' time. And rather than 20 minutes, let's make it an hour. So that's definitely the route to kind of make that contact in the first place.
What kind of, just sort of changing the subject a little bit, you must have seen lots of businesses sort of set up, and some will have had hurdles. And what kind of are the common mistakes, if you like, that people make when they're first setting up? And you know, no doubt they'll rectify them and have a successful business. But what are the pitfalls?
Yeah, I guess there's two. So spending too much before bringing the sales in.
Okay.
So I always go very much back to basics when it comes to businesses, because of course quite often I get a question of, why do so many businesses go bust? And in the main, it does boil down, and I know this sounds so simplistic, but it boils down to stay in business, you have to be bringing more money in than is going out. Now, of course, this doesn't apply. There are some technology companies who raise loads of money, and they don't necessarily need to worry about where it's going to come from. I've never been a huge fan of that business model. I'm a big advocate for, know what you're selling, understand what your how your product or service can help your customers, make sure hopefully those customers come back. So bring in more money than your costs are going out. So the biggest advice, and this isn't just to startups, this is at every point through your business, is stay on to that cash flow to know I've got sales coming in and they are more than the costs I've got going out. So mistakes can be spending too much up front before you've done budget market research. You know, bootstrap your budget when you're starting up, do market research using free tools like SurveyMonkey, like going out with a clip chart, and when you can, seeing people in person to kind of get their feedback. So market research on the cheap before you launch is a good idea. And then just really, really focus on getting those sales in, honing the product, and then you'll have more confidence to spend. So as I say, it sounds really basic, but business owners who get that right tend to be the ones that still survive.
And it does sound basic, but I'm always surprised at the number of business owners who don't have a good grasp on their own finances. And you've only got to watch any episode of Dragon's Den, which, you know, it's astonishing, isn't it? And you just think, how can you even be there if you don't know your finances? But it's almost like that's the dirty part of the business, almost, in a way. It's facing up to your financial position. So I completely agree with you, but if you're running a business, you must know what's coming in and what's going out. I just think that there's a world of people out there and communities that are willing to help if you only just get in touch with them, and I think that's true, isn't it?
Absolutely. And whether it's a Facebook group, whether it's Nextdoor, which is this brilliant platform that's kind of helping local businesses, as you say, everyone is kind of there to help. Again, advice that I offer to early stage startups is try to build that following from quite an early stage. So if you, you know, you're kind of starting out and you think you're going to launch, I don't know, a graphic design business, start to kind of share that with your following. So I'm thinking of launching it. What does everyone think? You know, do you like these kind of early concepts? How much would you be prepared to pay? Do you think I should set up on Shopify or Magento? So the more that you can actually get your community involved in the startup story, and we've seen this time and time again work really well, is by the time you have got your product or service ready to launch, you have got people who feel so committed to that business that they're prepared to pay and say, well, actually, I'll be some of your first customers. And we've seen that, I guess, the most obvious example of that is crowdfunding, where businesses who've done really well on crowdfunding, whether it's reward, debt or equity based, they've done a really good job of just getting people on board with the story and the vision of what they're looking to launch. And of course, crowdfunding is a brilliant way of essentially pre-selling your product or service. So you pre-sell it, that gives you the confidence to launch, and then you get the money and off you go. So yeah, definitely kind of bring a community with you and always be thinking. We've done so much content in the past couple of weeks actually on how to build a community, because as you say, it's becoming ever important to stay very connected to your customers. So kind of build one and then keep it with you, you know, keep kind to your community.
Yeah, and once you've got that kind of engagement, then people will kind of feel more aligned to you and what you're doing, and more likely to kind of be part of whatever your product is. Once you've built that kind of rapport, they start to kind of like and trust you, and they're then more likely to be your warmer customers than perhaps other people who you don't yet know. But it is building those links, isn't it? It's so important, and we all love a good story as well. So, you know, the more you can tell your story to people and get them engaged, I just think that is so powerful, isn't it? For startups,
it is, and the media are looking for startup stories at the moment. So we were talking about this before, but there's so many references now across the media to new startups. Mm-hmm. So it's a great idea if someone is new and starting a business. The hashtag journo request is brilliant on Twitter. So all the journalists who are looking for startup stories tend to use that. So yeah, tell that story, because every journalist loves a good startup story.
That's a great top tip. And actually, I'm going to sort of finish by asking if you've got any other top tips, but that hashtag journo request, I know is one that a lot of startups wouldn't necessarily know of. So yeah, take that and run with it, everyone that's listening to this, because it's a great route to get some good coverage.
Yeah. And I just, other tips, I'd say have a plan. So write a business plan, make some sales. And just the one other, I guess, piece of advice, because it's just every time someone says to me, what would you have told your kind of younger self, is starting and growing a business can take a lot longer than you think. So I know sometimes we do read about, you know, overnight successes, and there's lots of wonderful phrases about, you know, overnight successes are kind of 9 years in the making or whatever. So, you know, stick with it, I guess, is probably my other piece of advice, is if you've based a business on doing what you love, which most people do, hopefully it doesn't feel too much like work. But when you have those bad days, you need something that keeps you rooted as to why you need to go ahead for the next day. So keep that passion alive for what you're doing and just keep going.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And similar to that, I was talking to someone and they run a really successful business. And you know, they said when they first started, their marketing list was literally just them. And they were just kind of emailing themselves. And they sort of took a step back at some point and thought, no, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to do it for a year. And then I'll see, because then I've got that consistency, and that's what they did, and actually the business has grown and flourished. So it is a little bit about not being kind of not falling at the first hurdle, perhaps, is perhaps what I'm trying to say there.
Building a thick skin.
Yes, yeah, thick skin, yeah, definitely, and yeah, don't accept the first hurdle that comes along. Keep going, yeah. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you on. Wonderful to talk to you. Might see about getting you back for a future one, perhaps, if you're up for that. That would be brilliant. But yes, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julia. And yes, I'd love to come back. So best wishes with all of your work and thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.